to record it. Okay, so my name is Shannon Carter Foote, and today is December 24th.
No.
Is that right? I mean, oh, sorry, the other side of Christmas. December 27th, maybe? 28th. Let's go with that. 27th. Okay. So today is December 27th, 19. Wow, look at me, he's doing this! 2017. And I'm speaking with Liz Foote, who is my mother-in-law, and she's in a laughing fit. And we're recording this interview in Monument, Colorado, at her son's house where we're spending Christmas. So, I started with the question about your childhood. Can you tell me about your childhood? What was it like?
Well, my first memory is of the farm that my grandfather owned, and my mother and father and sister and I were all staying there with my Smith grandparents.
Where was the farm?
This was in Yazoo County, Mississippi.
And about what time are you growing up?
This was in the 1930s. The Depression was, I guess you would say that people were coming out of the Depression at that time. And the REA had come into that part of the country.
The Rural Electrification Act.
And my father was an electrician, so he got the job of wiring houses all over that area. That is what he was doing, was wiring all these houses, and they were staying there with my mother's parents while he did this work. And then she died. Well, my father continued staying there and doing the work that I suppose that he had contracted with these people to do. So we, my sister and I and my father, all lived there with my grandparents after my mother's death until the war was about to begin, the World War II. And his being an electrician meant that he would be needed to put in electrical components in airplanes. So this coincided with his second marriage. He married my mother's cousin who lived, probably about 20 miles away.
What was her name?
Her name was Evelyn.
Okay.
So he took this job with the civil service, that's the U.S. government, to go, they sent him to Alexandria, Louisiana, to work at an air base there. And he and Evelyn were going to go there and live in Pineville. And they wanted to take us with them.
Do you remember how old you were? And you, by us, you mean your sister, Monkey?
Well, by this time, I had started to school. So, you know, I was probably 6 or 7 years, probably about 6 years old. And my sister, of course, was ahead of me in school. She was 2 years older than I. And so when my father talked to my grandmother about it, my father always was, he thought that my grandmother was full of knowledge and good judgment. And so he went to her with this and said he wanted to take us to Louisiana to live with Evelyn and him. And my grandmother says, no, I don't think that's a good idea. The girls are in school here and are doing well. And when you go to Pineville, Louisiana, you are going to find everything very crowded. The schools will all be crowded because workers coming to work at the bases. There are several Army bases there. And the air base. And there are going to be workers coming from everywhere and trying to find a home and putting their children in the schools there. And he said, you know, I think you're right.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, as much as I want to take them, I know that they would be better off here.
Do you remember how you learned that you were going to go with your dad and how you felt?
I don't know what I was even told.
Okay.
Anyway, so we just knew that he had married Evelyn. We were going to have a new mother. And that he had to go and work at this air base down at Pineville. And we would go and stay with them next summer. And so my life went on as usual. I mean, they were, my grandfather and my grandmother were two people that were in our life for so many years that, you know, they were just a part of it.
What was your grandmother like? What you saw? Did you see her as super knowledgeable and?
Well,
less so.
I never thought about that, really.
Okay.
But everybody seemed to think that she had very good judgment and she could figure things out.
But did you didn't agree? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. Everybody did. You did.
Yeah. So, anyway, so that's what we did. We stayed there and went to school, and we'd go and visit our father and stepmother in the summertime. And we found out that what my grandmother had thought was exactly right. The first summer that we went to Pineville, we found that he and Evelyn were renting only a few rooms in a house that had been divided into apartments for four different families.
Hmm.
And a trailer was parked right beside the house using the house electricity. I don't know if they had running water or anything like that in the trailer or not, but it was a travel trailer that people were living in. And there were people everywhere.
Had you been to a city before this, or was this the?
Well, see, I was used to going to Yazoo City.
Okay, so that was a big city there.
That was, I don't know how big it was, but that was city to us. And when we went to Pineville, we only saw this small portion of Pineville, so it was no different.
Mm-hmm.
We were just seeing a part of the city.
Yeah.
And anyway, it was very interesting. My sister and I both have said, we are so thankful that we saw what we saw that summer. The house was close to the end of a street which hit a state highway. And every day we would see truckloads of soldiers go by. We would see soldiers on horseback who were in the cavalry go by on their morning ride. They had war games going on all over town. And the soldiers came and would stay under our house for years of time. And it was just a very exciting time to us. And that was, I guess we had a kind of a front row seat to the World War II that was about to start.
So they're sitting under your house, do they have fake guns or do they have real guns or?
I don't know what they had.
No, you just knew they were under there.
And of course she and I, every time they left, she and I would go up under the house and see what they had left. And you know, they always left things. They left packages of cigarettes and K-rations and all kinds of things. And so it was very exciting to us. And, you know, we just wouldn't have missed it for the world. And but they were able to eventually get a house. The next time we went to visit, they had moved over to Alexandria and had a whole house.
Wow.
So they had come up in the world. And but we always, I suppose, that that farm to us was just kind of our foundation.
Hmm.
And after we grew up, we said that we were very lucky that we had the life that we had, because we could roam all over that whole farm. And, you know, just the people who lived on the farm, you know, people that we learned from.
But it was not an easy life, though, right? I mean, you were working hard, right? Just, weren't you getting up really early to cook for the hens?
Not at that time.
Okay.
In my earliest knowledge, we always had a cook.
Okay.
And she was this first cook that I remember, named Beulah, and I just loved her like I did a member of the family. When my mother died, the day that we woke up, and Beulah was there and said, "Everybody has gone to Yazoo City, and your cousin Philip Ziegler is going to come by and pick you up, and I'm going to get you dressed so that you can go down there where everybody else is."
How old were you when your mom died?
I guess it was 4.
Okay. And did you know what was going on? Had she been sick?
No. What happened was that she had another child, and she hemorrhaged to death.
Mm.
And so, you know, I guess it was a shock to everybody, and especially, I'm sure, to my grandparents, their only daughter.
And she had child in the house. There wasn't a hospital.
No, she had it in the hospital.
Oh, she had it in the hospital.
Yeah, she went to the Yazoo hospital, Yazoo City Hospital.
Oh, and her poor parents and her dad.
Yes, and now this is, so anyway, as Beulah had told us, Philip did come by and pick us up. He was just a teenager. You know, at that time, he was more like a grown-up. But when I think about how old he would have been at that time, he was a teenager, but he was old enough to drive. And he was always given the job of taking my sister and me various places. Like, if everybody went to a family, he would go by and pick us up and take us. And anyway, he took us down there, and we went in, and someone, and I don't know who it was, picked me up and showed me my mother in the casket.
Mm.
And I always wished that they had not done that.
Why?
Because that is my memory of her. I do not remember her being alive. I just remember her lying in that casket. And I think if they hadn't done that, I probably would have remembered her as a live person.
You don't have memories you can't see or remember. Do you remember playing with her? Do you remember? But
no.
You just remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
The only thing I remember is just a vague impression, I guess, kind of. It's when my cousin Leroy bit my thumbnail off. And the women were all in the kitchen preparing supper. We were visiting someone in Texas, maybe one of my daddy's sisters or parents or somebody. But all the women were in the kitchen preparing supper. And I don't know where I was. Maybe I was in the dining room somewhere else. But Leroy bit my fingernail off. And so I went crying into the kitchen where my mother was. And I think that I was probably about 2 when that happened. But that's all I remember of her, that I went to her when I bit my fingernails, sure.
And you remember her comforting you, and so, yeah. Oh. So, your grandparents, how long have they had that land? Was that, or they grew up there, or?
My grandfather grew up there, and his father had lived there, and I don't know if his grandfather, probably his grandfather also.
Well, your family, as I understand it, goes all the way back to the pre-Revolutionary War?
Yes. My grandfather's ancestor was John Smith, Colonel John Smith, and he was from North Carolina, and he fought in the American Revolution.
What did you guys farm?
The main crop was cotton. That's the crop that nearly everybody farmed back in that time. But they also, because we had cattle, so we also grew hay and corn, and we grew soybeans, and that's probably about all of the crops that we grew.
So when you were playing around when you were younger, what kind of trouble would you guys get into?
I never did get into any trouble.
But your sister did.
My sister got into trouble because she did not mind. She did what she wanted to do, knowing that she would get punished for it. But she did it anyway. But I did not like for someone to fuss at me. And so I would never do anything that I thought that somebody might dislike. I always did what I thought was the right thing to do.
Oh, you're a good girl. You never talk about your grandfather. What was he like?
Well, he was a really good man, and he was, he had already retired from farming himself, and my uncle was in charge of the farm. I forgot to mention that I had two bachelor uncles who lived there too, who also were instrumental in raising us.
Oh.
They were always there. And they were all big readers. Read all the time, subscribed lots of magazines and newspapers, and read everything. And
this is your father's brother?
Huh?
Who are these uncles? How are they related?
My mother's brother.
Your mother's brother. So they were always reading.
Yes.
You think that's why you read all the time?
Yes. Now, my sister did not like to read. And she has told me in recent years, she always wished that she liked to read. And I said, that's funny to me. I can't imagine why someone who doesn't like to read wished that they did.
Yeah.
And she said, because everybody in the family except for me read all the time.
Mm-hmm.
She said, you all sat around with a book or a paper or a magazine in front of your face all the time, and you all looked like you were just enjoying it so much. And she said, I wanted that enjoyment, but when I got a book, I didn't enjoy reading.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, where were the books coming from? I mean, did you have a local library? There wasn't a bookstore.
We had a good library in Yazoo City.
How close is that?
20 miles, but we went every Saturday. That was one thing we did. The whole family would go every Saturday. You've heard probably people talk about all the country people going to town on Saturday. They did.
Do you look forward to that?
And I said the whole family went, and we would go to the library, and we'd go shopping, whatever shopping we needed to do. And the last thing before we went home was, and we also went to the movie, and the last thing before we went home, we went to the grocery store.
Oh, it's a great change.
So, you know, we could get home before it ruined if it was something cold.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, my sister and I would go to the library And we were allowed 4 books each. And we would each get 4 books.
She would too, even though she wasn't going to read them?
I don't know how much of them she read. I know that I read my 4 before the weekend was up.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had her 4 for the rest of the week. And I don't know if she ever made it through those 4 books, but I doubt it. She might have rechecked them. But I would have hoped not, because I had already read those.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it means get new ones for you.
Yeah. So, and we did not read the same type of books. We hardly ever checked out the same books.
What were you checking out?
Well, I don't know. I always liked mysteries and things
like that.
And she would get Anne of Green Gables and Potter Anna and books like that. And that's how I became acquainted with those books, is because she had picked them out and was reading them. So when I ran out of my books, there they were.
Where did you do your reading? Because you have a special place in the house you like to do it?
Well,
do it in bed or all of the above?
I guess all of the above. I know when, like my sister was talking about, we'd be sitting around in the room and all of us sitting there in chairs reading. And but I didn't really care where I was. I could read, you know, wherever it was.
You didn't have a special spot.
No. A lot of times I would just lie down on my tummy on the floor and put the book there in front of me. And then sometimes I might lie down across the bed and read it lying there, which is a good place too.
Mm-hmm. Did you want to keep the books? Did you?
Well, I bought books myself.
Did you, with that, with
because
that bookstore?
At that time, no, but they had a Woolworth, and there was a hardware store in Yazoo City that sold books.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought that was funny.
Huh.
But when we found out about it, you know, if they had books too, well, I had to go there every week too. But my grandfather would give me a certain amount of money every Saturday when we went to Yazoo City. And the books were so cheap then, they were hardbound books. But I suppose they probably weren't made well, and the paper probably was not the best. But you could buy a hardback book for maybe 50 cents.
Wow, nice.
And so if we got a dollar, and I could go and buy a book and then still have a lot of money left to go to the movie was 10 cents. And so I could still buy a lot of things.
That's great.
And so I was buying a book nearly every Saturday, as well as going to the library. And then if my sister bought a book, I got to read it too. I think she always had tall hopes that she was really going to enjoy reading this book.
Mm-hmm. So I'm picking out a little bit of literature. Did you guys share a room?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Was she messy?
Oh.
Or you guys both pretty clean? You didn't fight over that?
No, we didn't. Uh-huh. No, and I guess our grandmother kind of ingrained in us that we better be neat. Pick up our things and not leave them lying around.
Because you guys listen to her. It sounds like she commanded since.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, I guess as far as we were concerned, she was the boss of the household.
Yeah, yeah. Did your uncle seem to think the same?
Oh, yes. And Uncle Wyatt, the younger one, he was more quiet and full of patience, and he was just really a good person. And Uncle Frank was a good person also, but he talked all the time and he sang all the time. when he wasn't talking, he was singing. And He was quite a character because he talked so much, you know. And he was known to the whole, to the church where he went and the community as quite a character. I had a man, well, he was about my age, but he grew up. My other uncle, the one who was the talker, also was the manager of a semi-pro baseball team. And that baseball was in the church, were his main things in his life. And so every Sunday we had baseball games. So every Sunday afternoon we'd be going to the baseball games. That was just a part of it. But anyway, just last year, I guess it was, that I was talking to this man that rented my farm land there, and he said, you know, when Mr. Frank, you know, I called Uncle Frank, but everybody younger than me called him Mr. Frank. When Mr. Frank was selling us his farmland, he had to round up all of his cattle and take them to the sale down in Canton, Mississippi. And he said, so I helped him round them up and load them all. We loaded them up in trucks and took them to a sale farm in Canton, and I went with him. And he said, and when we got there, he happened upon this man who had seen him play ball. And he talked about a specific memorable baseball game that he had witnessed. And he said Mr. Frank started at the beginning of that ball game and told the whole story of the game. And we sat there, I don't know for how long, while he told us every move that was made in that baseball game. And I said, weren't you bored to death? And he said, no, I enjoyed every minute of it. He said, because he had a knack for telling a tale.
It makes a difference. Did they work the farm that your uncle?
Well, we had a lot of black people who worked farms. And they're the ones that I think I mentioned that. We had this cook who cooked for them and for us. So she would cook the meal, and we had a big table in the kitchen where the black hands, we called them. They ate all three meals there.
What time did they have breakfast? Would it be about before dawn?
Not before dawn.
Okay.
Probably about dawn. But we ate in the dining room, and they ate in the kitchen.
Okay.
And so we had this black cook who did that, and she was really nice to me, and she's the one who, I guess she said, you know, she was the one who was there the day my mother died.
That's the same one, okay.
And so I think she just really felt sorry for me because she was just extra nice to me all the time. And if I went in the kitchen and I'd say, Beulah, would you sit down so I can sit in your lap? She would do it. And she just always wanted to do things for me. And she taught me how to cook. She let me bake my first cake. And she was just really good to me. But my sister, she did not like. Because my sister didn't mind well.
Mm-hmm.
And I may have told you the story about my sister's 9th birthday. And Beulah was making her cake and trying to decorate it. And my sister kept coming around and getting in her way. And she said, if you don't quit doing this, I'm going to take this knife and cut your throat. And she took her butcher knife and ran the back side of the blade across my sister's throat. And my sister had this loose tooth in her mouth. And she pushed that tooth and made it bleed. And so after Beulah ran the back of the blade against my sister's throat, then this blood started going down my sister's chin. And it scared Beulah to death because she knew that she did not put the cutting side of that blade to my sister's throat, but there was that blood.
Oh my gosh.
Oh. So then she finally realized, of course, that my sister had just done that to fool her, you know.
Oh,
9 years old.
Honoring.
Uh-huh.
Do you know how old she was?
She was 9 that day.
Oh, that was a 9-year-old birthday. I meant Beulah.
Oh, no, I don't. And she was probably younger than I think she was.
Yeah, that's usually true, right?
Uh-huh. She had 3 daughters.
Okay, that was my next question.
And one of them was about 14, the oldest one, 14. And then there was one about my sister's age, and then one that was about, my age, somewhere around that.
Did they live on the property?
They lived there, the whole family did. And her husband was one of the hands that worked there, and was a really good hand. He was a good worker and a likable person, real nice person, except on Saturday night.
Uh-oh.
And on Saturday night, he'd have to go to some joint somewhere. And I guess probably somebody was bootlegging whiskey in, because he would get into a fight every Saturday night, just about. And on Sunday morning, somebody would let my grandfather know that Grady was in jail. And my grandfather would have to go and bail him out.
Mm-hmm.
And there where he lived on the farm, he was never made a minute of trouble,
mm-hmm.
You know.
He just got wild on the weekend.
Uh-huh.
Where did the children of the hands and where did they go to school? Was there a...
Well, there was a school not there,
okay.
Far from there. Maybe a mile or something like that.
Okay.
But anyway, her children did not like us.
Oh, really?
I mean, we could tell that we would play with them, but we could tell. I mean, the two that were our ages. Now, the oldest one didn't act that way. But she didn't try to, you know, wasn't the age to play with us anyway. But she always acted all right around us. But the two that were our age always acted as if they didn't like us, and I never knew why, because we never did anything to make them feel that way. And I decided that they were jealous that their mother was with us
so much,
and that they were afraid that maybe their mother would get to liking us better than she liked them.
Was it controversial at the time for you to play with her children?
Mm-mm.
It wasn't. Nobody said anything about it.
No, everybody did it. I mean,
okay.
Anybody that had black workers, the white children of the family played with the black children. And they just grew up with them. And so I always felt like by doing that, we understood them better than people who never had been around them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, except the situations would be a lot different, but yeah.
Now, in Mississippi, we lived where there was a lot of agriculture going on, which meant there were lots of blacks there.
So the cotton picking,
And then up in the hill section of Mississippi, like Philadelphia, Mississippi, and up in that part.
Well, you have an opportunity.
We're doing an interview, recording it.
Yeah, I haven't turned this thing
off. For the recording, I'll say this is John, this is husband, my father-in-law coming in asking us about what we're doing.
Anyway, the part of the country, in Mississippi, where the people who came down to help with the civil rights movement came to the hill country, where they, I always felt that the white people there disliked blacks more because they did not know them. They didn't have that many around. And so therefore, they were more afraid, I guess. And I felt like that was the reason why the white people there did the things that they did. to harm the black ones and the people that were trying to help the black.
You tell an interesting story, and this just, I think this relates to civil rights, but in a different way, that that you had a classmate that you learned later, or you suspected was gay.
Mm-hmm.
And can you tell that story?
Well, all of his classmates, I guess, always suspected that he was.
Did you go to elementary all the way through?
No, I just went from 7th grade to 12th, and then I went to 2 years of college with him also. And, you know, during that time, we became good friends, but he hung out with us girls instead of with the boys. And he played the piano beautifully, sang beautifully. And while other boys were playing football and basketball. And so we all just suspected that, but it didn't make any difference to us. We still liked him. He was still a good friend of ours. And he was just a really nice person. And then after our first 2 years of college, we went to different colleges. He went to Mississippi State because he wanted to major in agriculture and come back and run. He was the oldest son. He wanted to go back and help his father run the family farm. And that is the reason that he majored in agriculture. It wasn't that he liked agriculture, because he would have been more comfortable, I guess, studying music, because he was so good at it. But instead, he majored in agriculture to go back and help his father with the farm. And then his father was not very kind to him, and just showed that he was ashamed of having a gay son, and made his life so miserable that he finally committed suicide.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was terrible, that a father could, I guess in that time people did not understand why people were gay. He probably thought his son had chosen that.
Yeah.
And didn't know any better.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I don't see how he could have turned on his own son.
Yeah. I think you had said that was just a telling example of how it's not a choice, like you said. So we just have about 7 minutes, and I wanted to ask you about one of the other questions. And we might want to have a part two, but of the people that you've lost over the years, two questions, whichever one you want to answer, who do you miss the most and why? Or the second question is, who was the kindest to you in your life that you remember, and can you talk about that? So whichever one.
Well, it would be hard to say, because they were all so kind to me, you know. And Michael White, I guess I especially was thankful to him, because everywhere I needed to go, he always took me. And all the time I was in college, and I came in on the bus, he would be there to meet me, and I could call. And I mean, when I think back on it, you know, it was very uncertain. I mean, if I got a ride part of the way back home from college, and then I'd catch a bus and end up at the bus station in Yazoo City, I suppose that I would call and tell him, and he would be there, no matter when it was. And whenever he took me anywhere and had to wait, he never complained. He would sit there. I might be a couple hours doing something. And he never said a word about, you know, how about hurrying up? You know, when I got out of the car, he never said a word about it. And later on, I suspected, well, he probably had a book under the car seat.
It didn't matter.
Had a what?
Probably had a book.
Oh.
Because he was a big reader. And when he died, he had just ordered a whole set of some Western writer, I can't remember what, had a huge cardboard carton full of this man's books. Might have been Zane Grey. But at his funeral, Uncle Frank, the other brother, was trying to give them away to people.
How old were you when he died? Were you an adult?
Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And you had left.
They came to see, you know, after John and I married and we had Michael, they came to see us, and it was so funny. I had taught Michael to leave the things that were on the coffee table alone, and he had never broken anything. And my uncles were there that weekend, and Uncle Frank said he'd better put this little thing up that it might get, Michael would probably break it. And he picked it up to move it and dropped it and broke it.
Oh, you're talking about it. I'm hearing lots of noise.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what did you say?
I said, Michael had been taught to leave the things alone on the coffee table.
Oh, yeah.
And Uncle Frank was going to get it out of harm's way. He thought Michael would break it.
Mm.
And he picked it up and then dropped it. Broke it.
What was that? What was it?
It was something someone had given us already. No.
So for the recording, the background noise is the rest of the family watching Star Wars. So,
the thing I can't figure out about her is why in the heck did she marry me?
Ollie?
Why did she accept?
We asked, we've got a couple of minutes. I wonder if we can do a second part, because I want to know about why you left the farm. I think you were the first to get a college degree, and why you decided to do that. You want to talk about that?
I don't know.
You don't know? Okay. Okay. I'm going to stop this because we just have a tiny bit of time. So, this is it's 6 o'clock, I guess, or 5 o'clock. On I didn't figure out the date.
Right now it's 4 o'clock, so I think we started about 3:15.
Okay, yeah, it's got a 45 minute thing. Oh. So I'm gonna say done, mm-hmm. and then